We are in Doctrine and Covenants, section 58, and we're going to try to tackle verses 1 through 33 today. And I want to start off in verses 1 through 4. He talks about you cannot know with your natural eyes the designs of God, and for after much tribulation cometh the blessings. And I think this is just such a perfect theme for these pioneers who, we know in hindsight, get asked again and again and again to give their all, and it's taken again and again and again. And we have so many examples of that, and I am sure you are like me. When I go through hard things, it isn't that I think my life is so hard. I think, man, I am a wimp. It is nothing compared to what other people have had to struggle with. I've talked about losing, having a nervous breakdown in Washington, feeling like we had lost everything again for the, I don't know, it was probably the third or fourth time, but just going further and further in the hole after having redone a house and not having it sold and paying for two houses and just thinking, what are we doing wrong? And it's really easy to think that trials and tribulations are because we are doing something wrong, because sometimes they are. But sometimes that's just life. And I do remember at one point in time really praying over a son who was having some extremely hard things happening. And I was just sobbing, thinking, how in the heck do you expect him to keep going? This, he has done everything you've asked. He's worked so hard. And I remember the Spirit saying to me, there are things he needs to learn. If not this, how would you have me teach him? And it was such a humbling experience for me. And the Spirit said, there are harder things to come. And that truly is the lesson here, is there are trials and tribulations that we go through, sometimes our own wickedness, sometimes others' wickedness, and sometimes it's life. And sometimes the blessings that God has in store for us, we have no concept. And I loved on Sunday, my mom said, can you imagine how these pioneers look down and think, look what we were a part of. Look what we did. Look what we started. There's no way they knew then, but man, the joy that must come for all they sacrificed for us now. And it's amazing. I love this quote in the student manual that says, God does not willingly afflict his children. If he requires them to endure present privation and trial, it is that they may escape greater tribulation which would otherwise inevitably overtake them. If he deprives them of any present blessing, it is that he may bestow on them greater and more glorious ones by and by. The Lord desires tribulation bring humility and repentance, even though the saints may be living righteously. Trials come upon them because of the unrighteousness of others or for spiritual growth and character development. Such needed attributes as humility, faith, empathy, patience, courage, and gratitude come to individuals in a refiner's fire of tribulation and persecution. Trials give saints the opportunity to prove themselves worthy of eternal blessings by showing their commitment to God and his kingdom, their willingness to endure privation, their willingness to forsake the things of the world. The commitment that enables them to prove themselves worthy develops the faith necessary for eternal life. I will prove you in all things, whether you will abide my covenant, even to death, that you may be found worthy. For if you will not abide in my covenant, ye are not worthy of me. And I just love that. And again, I would cite us to Elder Holland's talk that says, you know, the person, he, and I'm paraphrasing, says, well, let me come and live with you, but don't make me suffer this, and don't make me go through this, and don't let me struggle this. And I guess the reason that that so comes to mind is that is very much how I think I speak with the Lord. Well, why would you have me go through this? And it really is a trial of patience and faith and trust in the Lord. And my greatest heroes are people like Amulek, who gave everything for the gospel. And I know missionaries tell stories of people who join the church and lose their job and are cut off from their family. And those are the people who just so inspire me. And even though we covenant in the temple to give all, I have not a concept of what that is. And so it is amazing to read these stories and be inspired by them. And hopefully it helps me be a little more patient and a little more come what may and love it, because I know my trials are nothing like theirs. Okay, so if we go down, I love that. And I love that in reference of Polly Knight, who dies coming with her husband. And I just love that God is so aware of the things we suffer, and he doesn't look and think, you wimp. He struggles with us, or he mourns with us, and he walks with us, and he whispers, you can do this, you are strong enough. And he so desires us to dwell with him. So he allows us to go through, knowing this is just a brief blip of time. All right, so go to 10 and 11. First the rich and the learned, the wise and the noble, and 11. And after that cometh the day of my power, then shall the poor, the lame, the blind, the deaf come into the marriage of the Lamb and partake of the supper of the Lord, prepared for the great day to come. And this reminded me of the parables that we have of the 10 virgins coming to the marriage, but also of the king, and he's preparing this great feast for his son. And he invites all of these guests, and they make light of it, and they don't come. And so then he has his servants go, and it says they brought all they could find, good and bad. And then he sees one at the wedding feast without a wedding garment, and he casts him out. But that's one. And I love this, because what this means to me is exactly that scripture that says he invites all, black, white, bond, free, male, female. Everyone is entitled to an invitation. We just have to be humble enough to call on him and come. And like this guest that came without the wedding garment, that was throwing in his face that they would think they could be there and mock his laws and his ordinance and his covenants. Repentance is given for us. He knows we will need it, but we do have to call on his name and take part of that and humble ourselves. So I love that. Okay, 21, let no man break the laws of the land, for he that keepeth the laws of God hath no need to break the laws of the land. Wherefore be subject to the powers that be until he reigns, whose right it is to reign, and subdues all enemies under his feet. And I think this so goes with Elder Oaks's talk and so many talks that we've had where they have instructed us to be subject to the laws of our land, which is hard for people who do not live in a land that condones freedom and gives us that right of liberty. And a lot of us who are living here at this time in COVID feel like a lot of our rights have been taken, and we're kind of questioning things, and there's a lot of division and politically and unrest and socially and just a lot going on. And I love this, because like Elder Oaks talk, it just really is that we need to be loving and kind of other people's opinions. We need to be grateful that there is difference of opinions. We need to strive to follow our prophet and keep our eye on him, whatever it is he dictates and tells us, because we know he will keep his eyes on the laws of the land, even if those seem questionable, even if those seem wrong. We do believe in honoring, obeying, and sustaining the laws of the land until Christ comes and reigns, and it will be glorious and perfect. And oh, the liberty and the justice that we all crave. And I love that. But our job now is to pray for our leaders. And I think that was Ballard who said, pray for the leaders of the land. And I loved that he said that, pray for them. That's what we can do. So do that. It does no good to point out faults. It does no good to run around screaming, you know, what a horrid place we live in. Pray that they will be guided. We know before the Lord comes, it's going to be turmoil. So yay, hopefully it's hastening the day of his coming, right? That's the way. But pray for them and do what you can and obey the laws of the land. Okay, 26, for behold, it is not meet that I should command in all things. For he that is compelled in all things, the same is slothful and not a wise steward. Wherefore he receiveth no reward. Verily I say, men should be anxiously engaged, that's action, in a good cause, and do many things of their own free will, and bring to pass much righteousness. And I love that, because the blessings come even greater or poured down when it is our choice. We have not been asked. It is not our calling. It is not a command. When it just becomes our second nature to serve. And I love that quote from Holland. I so want to be caught doing good when the Savior comes. And we all know he will be. It has been a lifetime of practicing for him and for the other apostles. So we can do the same thing. I love that thought of you move one foot in the darkness and the Lord directs you. It's Nephi, I, Nephi, not knowing beforehand the things I should do. Amulek inviting Alma into his home, not knowing what it would cost. And the question every time is, do you think they look back and regret that? Never. They're always so grateful. These pioneers, do you think they regretted? Never. But those who fell away, those who decided it was too much to ask, do they? Yes. And so there's the lesson, is God has such blessings for us. And then I love in 28, for the power is in them, wherefore they are agents unto themselves. And it just reminds me of that quote by Joseph Smith that says, I teach them correct principles and let them govern themselves. And so that's just beautiful. I want to end with 30 through 33. It says, who am I that made man, saith the Lord, that will hold him guiltless, that obeys not my commandments? Who am I, saith the Lord, that has promised and have not fulfilled? I command men and men obey not. I command and men obey not. I revoke and they receive not the blessing. Then they say in their hearts, this is not the work of the Lord, for his promises are not fulfilled. But woe unto such, for their reward lurketh beneath and not from above. And again, this is Holland's talk, comfortable gods. We all want gods who not only don't rock the boat, don't even row the boat, and pat us on the head and tell us to go pick marigolds. We are not a church of cafeteria style. We are a church of all in. Whatever that looks like, and we get to decide how much the effort is. I think I remember a conference talk in state conference where the stake president said the two great lies of Satan are we have done too much and that it's too hard and we can never come back. Those are Satan's lies. God is a God of law, and yes, there are consequences. And so all we have to decide is what is our goal. Is our goal to be with him? Then guess what? Do all you can. Repent in humility and say, I give you my all. Whatever that looks like, wherever you direct, wherever you call. And granted, I am saying this as much to myself as I am to you. But I love this because let there be no mistake. When we covenant everything. So that means we don't have to look at others and think, man, what did they do wrong in their life? And especially in our own. Don't look at yourself, what did I do wrong? Hopefully what it means, and Elder Eyring once said, if your journey's not uphill, you need to ask why. It means that God loves you and knows you are capable and wants to bless you. I always say to my seminary kids, you take it as a compliment. Even the jaws of hell shook for Moroni's good. So don't you think Satan unleashed everything he could to try and take him down? You take that attack, you take all that he's unleashing as a compliment that he's trying to take you down, but then you pair with God with all your might. You do everything that they have asked. That means we will have the Spirit pair with us and strengthen us and help us and be by our side. You start the day with prayer. You read your scriptures. You walk with the companionship of the Holy Ghost and do everything you can in your life to make sure he stays with you. And at the end of the night, you repent and you go over the day and you say, I should have listened to this or I should have done this better. And the next day you wake up and say, please walk with me today. What would you have me do? That's what it looks like, and that's what it is. And so my friend who, her and her husband have died and left these six kids, man, the reward I know that is waiting, and man, the armies God has prepared and in the lives of these kids, and I've seen it, and man, the blessings that will come. And I only hope and pray I get to live worthy enough that I get to be around them and live with them. But that means I have to try. and I have to continue to try, and I have to get really, really good at practicing humility and repentance and practicing giving and charity, like Elder Holland said, and doing good. That's the prayer. I hope you know the church is true. And more than that, I hope you know how much our Savior loves you.